Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
So we're going to begin with Dr. Escott, who is the public health officer here in the city of Austin, to tell us the background we need to understand the orders that are being put into place. Dr. Escott.
I'm Dr. Mark Escott. I'm the interim health authority for the city of Austin in Travis County. Right now, our city and county are at a critical point in time where we can and should take further steps to mitigate community spread of COVID-19. As we look at other cities and states who are experiencing a faster and have been more impacted by this particular outbreak, it's evident that we need to increase our efforts to keep our residents healthy and safe. In the medical field, we know from decades of experience from past outbreaks that one of the most important things that we can do to really help limit the spread and to flatten the curve is to limit exposure between people, or social distancing. The measures that we're taking today are not a result of a knee-jerk reaction, and they're not a result of fear, but strategic planning and prevention and consultation with our experts. While we don't have confirmation of person-to-person spread in this community, right now we should act as if we do. Right now we are limited in the ability to test because of test kit limitations and PPE necessary to do those tests safely. Therefore, when we're making decisions about how we should act now, and we're making decisions about the advice that we give you, those are based upon our assumption at this stage that we have person-to-person spread in our community. In saying this, I've recommended the following orders to the mayor, the city manager, and the county judge, effective noon today. Restaurants may be open for drive-through and pickup and delivery only. Dine-in service will be prohibited. Due to the substantial risk to the public of community gatherings larger than 10, we are prohibiting gatherings of individuals, indoor or outdoor, of larger than 10. There are some exclusions to that. Government buildings who provide essential services, schools or colleges, grocery stores and pharmacies, including markets, hospitals and medical facilities are all exempt from these orders. In these critical facilities, social distancing and frequent cleaning are strongly recommended. And it's important, I think, that the community really understand what we're doing as critical infrastructure, as healthcare, as providers of nursing home and assisted living facilities. All of us are checking our temperatures before we leave the house every day. All of us are checking temperatures on the way in to the emergency operations center every day. And this is a habit that we really encourage the community to embrace. If you're going to go out to the grocery store, to the pharmacy, check yourself. Check your temperature. Make sure that you don't have symptoms before you make the decision to go out. We've also ordered or made the recommendation that bars also be closed. The common bar spaces and the serving of alcohol in bars to be prohibited. We also appreciate the impact, both physical and mental, on our community, on our business owners, and on the employees. And we are compiling a list of resources to help these individuals out, and we encourage that the community who is not as impacted, who still have jobs, who can still work via via teleconference, help support those who are not able to work at this stage. Now, I do want to talk a little bit about testing. At this time, all of the positive cases we have right now are travel related. However, we still have ongoing contact tracing being performed by our epidemiologists to determine both the origin of the infection as well as the potential for exposure. As an early part of that investigation, it became clear that with our original 10 cases, that there are a substantial number of individuals in the community who may have been exposed. Due to this, as well as the increasing number of cases in the state of Texas and increasing number of person-to-person cases in the state of Texas, it's our estimation the risk for further community spread is high and that individuals at home should take appropriate action to protect themselves and their family, particularly those who are at higher risk. Now, we are expecting an increased number of test kits available. We're expecting to increase our capacity very soon, this week, to do more tests, but we still do not have enough to test everybody who wants to get tested. We are still going to have to prioritize those who are in the hospital, those who live in a communal living facility like a nursing home or assisted living facility, our healthcare workers, and others who are at higher risk for complications. It's important to remember that the vast majority of individuals who get this illness, it is a mild illness. 80% are mild cases, and that the fact that they can't get tested is not going to be critical for most people, because the instructions are going to be stay home, get better, watch your Netflix or your favorite cable show, and rest, and help us to prevent others from getting this infection. We are expecting the arrival of 1,000 test kits this week through HHS, and as a result of that, we will be opening community testing sites. We have some community testing sites which have been available in coordination with our hospital system partners from Baylor Scott & White, Ascension Seton, and St. David's System, and we expect that that capability will increase this week and will increase further next week as PPE and additional test kits arrive. I will provide more details and certainly answer questions in a moment. Now I'd like to ask County Judge Eckhart to come to the stand. Thank you.
Thanks so much, Dr. Escott. This has been a tremendous team, and it's an honor to work with these fine people who are responding so beautifully in these very difficult times. Now is the time for us to be proactive and unified in our approach to combating COVID-19. COVID-19 uses us as its vehicle to spread through our community. So we are asking all folks to find ways to reduce their circulation through the community so that we can reduce COVID-19's circulation through our community. We will find new ways to reach out to one another, even in this moment where all we want to do is reach out to each other. Let's find new ways to comfort one another. So I'm calling for sharing and patience among our Travis County community. We are keeping critical infrastructure open. That critical infrastructure does, of course, include grocery stores. So please be patient. Grocery stores are already instituting queuing in order to reduce, keep social distance in our aisles. So please be patient when you go to the grocery store. They are absolutely behaving in the appropriate manner to keep folks from too many people being in the aisles. We also are likely to see some preferential queuing with regard to grocery stores and other service providers, pharmacies, for instance, in order to set aside priority times for our most vulnerable populations, like our senior citizens. So I'm asking for folks to be patient, for folks to share, and for finding ways to reach out to their neighbors without using their hands. We also recognize that along with the medical threat of COVID-19, there is also an economic threat. And so we are also looking for ways that we can mitigate that economic threat. A couple of examples are buying gift certificates at your favorite local establishments so that when social distancing is no longer a requirement, you will have already paid it forward and helped some of these local businesses stay open. Appropriately use those gift certificates at a later time. Also, another example, in our Travis County courts system, we have put a moratorium on any evictions. There are many such efforts that are going on across the city and the county. We are also monitoring the state and the federal actions to see what kind of moves we can make in order to mitigate the economic threat that COVID-19 is presenting to our community. And we'll be getting back to you about things like that. But in the meantime, remember, patience and sharing and finding new ways to reach out to one another that are safe and maintain that social distance. Thank you. Mayor.
Judge Arker, thank you. And I just want to say that I am real appreciative of the friendship and the relationship that we have and the working relationship right now between the city and the county, leadership of both, staffs of both. This is really one effort that we're all doing together, and not every region is blessed with that same measure of cooperation, and we are, and I want to say thank you for your leadership. So you've seen the order that's in place. It speaks to social distancing. Collectively and individually, we get to decide as a community what kind of spike we're going to have as this virus begins to enter the general population, which we know it's going to do because that's what viruses do. But we have a control over whether it arrives quickly or whether we can space it out over time. The advantage of having it space out over time is that we don't overtax the healthcare delivery system in our community, and that's what we're striving for. But whether this works depends to a large degree on just how diligent we each are on the things that we're being asked to do. Make sure, number one, you don't go out if you're sick or if you're not feeling well. The personal hygiene things that we're talking about, washing your hand, not shaking hands, actually have a real impact. It's not just something we're asking people to do so that they can do something. And with the orders today, we're saying, hey, be in smaller and smaller groups because we're trying again to stop it from passing. Public health and safety are the number one priority, and you can see that reflected in the decisions that the community and its leadership is making. At the same time, we recognize that the economic hardships that are happening because of the closure of South By and just the general closures and restrictions associated with the virus, that economic harm is really, at this point, a crisis that is every bit as large as is the virus itself. So you need to know that your leadership in the region is focused on the people and the small businesses that are being impacted the most right now by these closures, these restrictions, and are least able to sustain this time. We are focused on doing everything we need, recognizing that workers need to replace income and businesses need help weathering the storm so that we're all positioned well for when this passes us and we come storming back to life. I will say we don't have all the answers right now, but we are in search of those answers, and we will be trying things and doing things because we recognize the gravity of the situation that we are facing. I would urge employers and workers to reach out to Workforce Solutions. They have resources to help businesses with mitigation, layoff mitigation. Maybe there's some things they have resources to help you keep folks on the payroll. Folks that are losing their jobs or being furloughed, reach out to Workforce Solutions because they have assistance and help again. So we should all be doing that. We're working with the state, with the governor, to get the special declaration that he needs to issue in order to really open up the SBA low loan spigot. And I'm eager to continue our work with his office so that we can make sure that happens. We're working with local banks to try to consider ways that we might increase the amount and the speed of lending in the community. You know, the larger goal here is to help businesses kind of bridge this gap, to pay critical expenses until this crisis is passed. I would now call on vendors and lenders and landlords in our city to recognize that the old rules right now are out the window. For many small firms, really, time is of the essence. Forbearance and the spirit of cooperation now could be the real difference between survival and failure. So landlords and lenders and note holders, I would ask that you extend grace to the fullest extent that you are able to do that. We're working ways as many as we can to work with those that are working with and dealing with lost income. And really, some of the incredibly creative things that you would expect to see happen in Austin, Texas, are in fact happening now. We're going to have restaurants that have never done carryout before, now opening themselves up for carryout and delivery. I would urge everybody to take advantage of those services. Make sure that when you do that, you tip a little bit more than you've ever tipped before. But I'm anxious to see that kind of new way of doing business in our city really blossom. There are physicians that are doing video chats with their patients. We have now in the city a series of virtual home concerts that are pretty extraordinary, except the concert doesn't happen in your home. They happen in the musician's home, but you're able, with a live feed, to be able to make real-time requests of the musicians and the artists that are performing, and there's an opportunity again to tip liberally, and I want people to find those. Stand with Austin at the Austin Community Foundation is a way for us all to contribute directly to those that are being hurt the hardest by what's going on and least able to sustain that stay that injury. You know, if we each do more and more to stay connected, we can support our neighbors and our friends. So here's the real irony. As we maintain physical distance from one another, we must work more closely together than we ever have before. And that's what this city is going to be about. If you're not feeling well, stay home. Wash your hands. Don't shake hands. Avoid your exposure. Avoid non-essential travel in the city. Stay informed. Call your doctor if you feel sick. Don't go to an emergency room. If you don't have a doctor or a personal primary care physician, then call community care at 512-978-9015. And I'm going to conclude by asking everybody to be a really good neighbor. Reach out to folks that are older that should stay in their homes and see if you can help by running to the grocery store or the pharmacy for them. Reach out to them, call them just to say hi. Let's know where those folks are and let them know that we know where they are. Grocery stores are going to stay open, pharmacies. I would urge everybody, don't hoard. There's not a reason for that to happen. These stores are being continually restocked. You don't have to buy a month's supply of anything. Normal shopping patterns actually work, and the shelves are going to be restocked. You know, and something I see other communities doing that we ought to consider doing here is that the first hour that grocery stores are open, how about if most of us hang back and let those in our community that are older have that first hour so that they can shop without being in a really, really crowded environment. You know, take and buy what you need, but make sure that you're leaving a lot for your neighbors too. This is a time when we need each other, we need to support each other, we each need to do our part, This is a magical community, and we're going to do this well, too. So with that, I would open it up for questions.
Betty Cross with CBS Austin. I went out to a restaurant in my coverage yesterday, and there was, in fact, it was Chewy's. It was still open. They were doing a pretty spectacular job, actually, of spacing customers out and kind of self-policing. One of the questions that I got from one of the waitresses there was, why can't they let us self-police? I mean, we're taking extra cleaning steps, we're spacing our customers, and it would allow us to stay open and keep the economy going. Was there thought to that?
Absolutely. You know, this has been a several week continual conversation discussing all of the different options and permutations. We looked at the cities that were doing just that with restaurants. But ultimately, the advice that we got was that we needed to err on the side of doing this well and as completely as we can possibly do that. You know, there may become a time in the future where we're able to let restaurants open again with the social distancing done. But for right now, we really need to have a community focused on trying not to gather in large groups everywhere we can do that. And we want to make sure that we're all really focused on doing this, at least this initial stage, really well.
And I have questions from other media here. This one is from KUT. It says, just 10 days ago, the mayor and judge and Senator Kirk Watson were encouraging people to frequent bars and restaurants in the wake of the South By cancellation. Do you think that was a poor decision, given that South By Southwest was canceled and all the steps that have happened since then?
Well, you know, I posted that website a week ago, and you can't find it on my website now. So obviously the answer is, if I knew then what I know now, I wouldn't have made that video, because it's not something that we should be going out and doing. And I would address that especially to the millennials and the younger folks in our community, because they're still going out and have been to bars, and maybe a part of that is we haven't really given direction otherwise. Part of that might be that if you're younger, you're not going to manifest the same symptoms that other people might. But I would just point out, and I want these folks to know, that even though they don't feel the symptoms, they can be carrying this like anybody else. So it's real important that everybody in our community follow these rules, not just the people that are in the greatest risk. Because those of us that are not in the greatest risk sometimes pose the greatest risk of infecting those that are. So we're all in this together, and we are learning over time, and we will make sure that everyone has our best thinking at any point in time.
This is a question from Kate Lee. Shutting down restaurants and bars will negatively affect, as we all know, thousands of workers. How will the city mitigate those effects? I know you have just talked about some of that. But I think for the average worker, that the minimum wage worker, who doesn't see a loan as being a way to get through this, what would you say to them? What are some things that can happen for that person?
Well, I want them to know that the leadership in this region, leadership at the state and at the national level, are focused on exactly that person and in the situation that they're in. We're working as hard as we can to minimize the economic burden as best we can, by speaking with landlords, by taking the position that the judge talked about. We're not going to have evictions. The city has now ensured that no one has to worry about their utilities being turned off, either water or electric, because we've put a moratorium on that. But we really do need the state and the federal government to assist us in getting unemployment insurance to get going more quickly, for insurance to be able to be provided. I think there's an opportunity for our state to allow greater medical insurance and support to come into our community, if only temporarily. We could be able to implement our sick leave ordinance that was adopted if the state would let us go forward. We're just trying to think of as many different things that we can to help that person that has lost that income, and I promise that it is top of mind.
May I, for a moment, at the risk of social distancing, Mayor, would you stay up here with me? We will stay up here together for this piece, because I think that it is important, and I so value your partnership. I also value our partnership through Workforce Solutions. What's happening to individuals who have thin margins in any case in COVID-19, those margins are blown away. And so we will be working collaboratively, as we already have, even before COVID-19, to take a look at our workforce that is at such thin margins. That's why we instituted the 10,000 by 2021, looking for individuals who were in often service industry jobs, trying to get them into mid-skill level jobs that had greater margins. That apparatus is already in existence, and we are going to supercharge it for those individuals who are being hit by COVID-19. And I just wanted to thank my partner in the mayor for having developed the idea of 10,000 by 2021. And that is going to be our vehicle to help these individuals. And so with that, I'm going to stand behind the mayor at about 6 feet, just to show those in TV land that we are absolutely unified in this proactive approach to COVID-19.
Next question is from KXAN. Is the city doing anything to help ensure people still cooking, delivering food, doing the takeout that's being suggested from restaurants, are using best practices to avoid spreading the virus? Can anyone deliver food? How many health inspectors might be out there? You get the line of questioning.
I do, and we don't have answers to all those questions yet, but the protocols are being developed. In fact, some protocols have already been released with respect to restaurants and precautions that they need to be taking. As we move through this, we'll be developing greater and greater protocols. I know that restaurants are now looking at the question of, can their wait staff actually drive and deliver things? So we're all taking a look at the insurance questions. So those are all really good questions, all being looked at and all being answered as quickly as we can, but we don't have all the answers yet.
Is it being considered to up the number of inspectors who are going out to the restaurants?
Yes. I mean, we're going to try and do everything that we need to do in order to help ensure that the steps that we're taking are effective.
How will restrictions on gatherings be enforced? And that is a question from Statesman.
Well, you know, the first level of enforcement with respect to all of these rules are going to be our individual and collective commitment. We're going to be able to enforce these rules greatest to the degree that everybody assumes personal responsibility and also collectively make sure that everybody else knows what the rules are. Beyond that, we have the same kind of code enforcement staff that we have that enforce our rules and our laws and our ordinances. Obviously, given the situation that we're in, we'll always be taking a look at, as the previous question asked, do we need to augment those? And that's something that the city and the region will be looking at.
And is that something, I guess, that if someone saw a violation that they could report it to 311, or what would be a protocol for maybe the community trying to assist in that?
Well, I think that the first step would be kind of self-policing. If people need to be reminded what the rules are or told about them. You know, my belief is that in this community, given the gravity of what our community will face if we're not successful in avoiding a tremendous peak, that is so important to the public health. I really do believe that most everybody is going to be pitching in to do the best they possibly can do. But the rules are rules, and they are enforceable by fines. So absolutely, if we have a situation where people are not enforcing the rules, then the city and region would like to know so that we can help bring about compliance.
Next question is from Fox 7. Why is the Austin Animal Center closed?
I don't know the answer to that question, and I've had some questions that have been asked about making sure that some animal support facilities are kept open as part of critical infrastructure to make sure there's plenty of food for pets and that kind of thing. But that was a new question for me as of this morning, and I've asked it, and I don't have an answer yet.
And next question is, what about food trucks? Since they are kind of a pickup type situation, are they going to be allowed to stay open?
I would assume that food trucks would be allowed to stay open because that's a carry-out food service. But probably if there were seating areas around the food trucks where people would gather, probably the seating should go away.
And another question, what number or percentage of Austin Travis County's workforce is in the service industry, and do you expect to be impacted by this decision today?
I'm not sure I know the number offhand. I know that it's a really big number. I know that the hospitality industry is the second largest industry sector in the city, which is why the economic repercussions of closing South By and closing restaurants and bars or in-house in-site dining is going to have a huge impact on our city. Which is why we need, as I said earlier, to really focus on bringing about economic relief. At the same time, we're focused on the public health.
And I know I'm kind of being told my number of questions is limited. What is the city doing to try to protect those first responders who are still out there on the front lines and still maybe coming in contact with some of the most vulnerable and others who are maybe highest risk?
You know, again, as I frequently do, I want to say how appreciative we are and how lucky we are to have the caliber of first responders that we have in our entire Central Texas region. These are incredibly brave people that are taking risks for the rest of us, and it's important that we stay thankful. I know that we have asked the Public Health Department to take a look at providing all the equipment and support that those folks need. Dr. Escott, I don't know if you want to address that, this question.
So we've been working closely with our first responders to ensure that they have adequate training, adequate PPE, and adequate access to testing should they become exposed. We are having them monitor their temperatures. They're checking their temperature before they come to work. They're checking their temperatures during work to ensure that at the first sign of illness, they get pulled. If we know there's an exposure, they'll be pulled before that. But as the mayor said, we do know that our first responders, our healthcare workers, our ERs are on the front lines. And when we think about how we can support our community, it's important to think about how we can support our first responders, our healthcare workers, our public health, those who still have to work to keep the city going, to protect the city. As the mayor said, if they need help with food, with childcare, mowing the grass, this is the time for the community to come together to really consider how we can work as one unit to get through this crisis.
And one more time as we're wrapping up here, this is not a recommendation, it is an order, correct?
This is an order. And, you know, we're encouraging our neighboring communities, we're encouraging the state to adopt similar stringent measures right now so that we can flatten that curve quickly. You know, I know for many communities, they don't have solid evidence that there's person-to-person spread in their community. And, you know, I think that the evidence continues to grow that it's happening despite us knowing it or not. I think now is the right time. The next 4 to 6 weeks is going to be critical for us as a community and us as a country to make the right decisions, to make hard decisions, so that we can flatten that curve very quickly.
Takes effect at noon today?
Noon today. Thank you so much.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.